Hey, welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We finally got some music, so you don't have to listen to a cold intro of my voice, which is never good. Maddie and Million back on the podcast this week. We delayed, we were tardy in getting it up, but we taped it on a Friday morning right before heading up to Homecoming and Hoops and walk around. So hope you guys enjoy that. We talk about the Big 12 a little bit, how we think OSU is going to do against TCU. And yeah, I will see all of you guys at Homecoming tonight. Okay, Maddie Million, welcome back to the podcast. We're doing a late pod this week, and we've actually never done a morning podcast. So I've got my coffee here. My voice feels deeper. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I guess we're going to talk about Homecoming.
Yeah, Mitch, a little less organized than it usually is. I'm drinking my coffee in the car, driving up to Enid for work this morning.
Okay, so OSU's got TCU this weekend, and I feel like it's kind of – so in the Oklahoman today, Barry Trammell picked TCU to win. I've seen some advanced stats picks where TCU – you know, people have TCU winning. Is this a game that you – how do you see this game going?
I don't know. I what was the line, like 7.5? At first I was kind of thinking – you know, win by 10, but then the more I think about it, you know, they've played well, especially on the road this year, and it's not like we're anything special or more special than LSU or OU. I hate to say it, I was looking at the over or under, which was low 50s, and I was tempted to just, like, pick the under, which is just bizarre to me. So I don't want to just go with the popular pick, but probably – OSU wins, doesn't cover the spread, both teams in the 20s.
Yeah, I do feel like we're kind of at a point with this team where it's like, oh, they'll be fine, the offense will be okay, they'll come around, they had a couple bad games, but I don't really know that it's going to, you know, like I would not be surprised if they went out and put up, you know, 28 points, and it was like a 28-27 game, or they get beat, you know, like 33-25 or something like that. I just don't know that 45 to 50 point offense that we've seen for the last, you know, four or five years is there, especially against TCU, which has a pretty good defense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. I was like, it may come around this year, but I wouldn't say this is the game for it to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, don't you want to, like, I'm not, when I say I'm taking the under, I'm not betting the over-under. It's just kind of like a middle pick in my head. But you know that there's going to be a game that, I mean, gosh, 50 points for Oklahoma State. Like, in the past, what, 5-6 years, I don't know what the lowest over-under was, but, oh, my, I couldn't imagine it being in the low 50s or right around 50, because that's almost what we were averaging on our own. Man, it's just bizarre that we're at a point now that's a very reasonable line.
Yeah, it really is. It really is bizarre. I think I actually have all the over unders here. The over unders from the last few years. If you want me to pull them up real quick, let's while I'm doing that, let's talk about the rest of the Big 12 lines.
First of all, we need to talk about last week's picks. You went 0-4.
I went 0-4. That probably sounds about right. I've actually so I'm in this have you heard of the Vegas what's it called? The picks thing that Simmons and Cousin Sal do, the NFL thing.
They guess the lines.
Well, no, they guess the lines, but they're also in this big pool with a bunch of people, like people that bet for a living, basically, out in Vegas. And so Chad Ward, one of my old roommates, and I are kind of doing it just for fun, like via email or whatever. And the first couple of weeks, I went like 1-9. Like, you pick five games every week, and I went 1-9, or 2-8, something like that. And like the third week, I was like, I should really study this, pick all the games, get ready to turn it in, and then just pick all the opposite teams from the ones that I
have a better record.
Because I'm so bad at it.
Oh, I still do the weekly parlay, $1 parlay, and I actually won one, not a very big one, but there, I think it was last week or the week before that I would have won if I would have switched all of them around. And I'm like, man, this is like proof that I should never put down like any significant amount of money on gambling thinking that I'm going to pull it off.
Well, tell everybody, I don't know that people know like what the people haven't been listening to this podcast for 3 years. Like you, I think you and I might be the only people that have been listening to this podcast for 3 years, but tell people what the little thing is that you do.
Oh, well, we started it, you know, me, you, Clay, and Nolan, where we'd all put in $1 a week, like $15 for the season. And we'd pick 12 games collectively and do a progressive parlay. So if you win all 12, it pays 900 to 1. 11 out of 12, I think, was 80 or 90 to 1. 10 out of 12 was 10 to 1. And then 9 out of 12 was like 4 to 1. So it's really just for fun because you're betting on a couple of games you care about. And then now you're pulling for Akron to cover against Miami of Ohio, a game that you've never cared about. So it kind of gets you more into the whole college football landscape across the country. And it makes it fun. And if you lose, you lose a dollar a week. So, like, we're not investing anything that where we're like, oh, crap, how am I going to explain that to my wife or have to worry about keeping it from her? So I still do that on occasion, and it keeps it pretty fun.
Okay, so I pulled up the over-unders for Oklahoma State in 2011, so the Fiesta Bowl year. First game, Louisiana Lafayette 64, Arizona 65, Tulsa 67, A&M 68. It just kept going up by one. Kansas 74, Texas 64, 69. The Baylor game, the over-under was 82. And they beat it by one because the final was 59-24. Kansas State game was 70, Tech game was 79, and then the 67-71 Stanford, the Bedlam game was 71, Stanford game was 74. So yeah, you're not looking at anything even remotely in the 50s like you are this year.
Yeah, and also part of this has to do with the fact that our defense is better and the rest of the Big 12 is down. So, let's go back over last week. I know I went 2-2. I just want to make sure everybody understands that you went 0-4. We both lost OSU. I think we both picked Tech.
OSU didn't play last week.
I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, it was going back the week before. We both went 2-2. I picked by myself the week before. That's right. Last week, I think we both picked Tech.
Yeah.
They lost.
Yeah.
I got Kansas State covering.
And yeah, that was a good pick, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it could have easily gone the other way, but you said it opened up at 10, and then I started hearing it opened up at 20, but either way, and then I had KU covering against TCU, and I think you took Horned Frogs there.
I can't do it. I don't know. Kansas is so bad.
And then we both missed the OU Texas game by a lot.
Yeah, that was I don't think OU and Texas are that far apart, like as that game showed. I think that, I mean, Case McCoy, are we serious with that? Like, is he somebody, I can't remember who, that is kind of around the program a little bit or whatever, said that Case McCoy is the most irrationally confident person he's ever been around. And it's like, I feel like you can kind of tell. It's like, you are not talented. He's like a poor man's Walsh. And he goes out there and just rolls OU. I don't know. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, we both said it on Twitter that those two throws were just that he won't do those. He won't make those throws again. But, yeah, I mean, you kind of got to put the gamer label on him for doing it in an OU Texas game where they were just, you know, supposed to get hammered.
Yeah, the throw in the second half over the shoulder throw that he made, I can't remember who caught it. That was the best throw he has or ever will make in his life.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not even sure if it was luck or if he just I mean, threw it as far as he could. I don't know, but it worked and looked great doing it. So what do we got this week?
Okay, lines this week. Let's start with Iowa State at Baylor. Baylor is favored by 33.5.
Yeah. I'm just gonna go Baylor. I went against them last week and got it, but I'm not gonna push my luck twice with them. I could easily see this being like a 55-20 game, so that puts it barely have Baylor covering. But I don't think that Iowa State's gonna hold Baylor in Waco to below 50, and then I'll go over.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Sorry, Baylor.
I'm taking and always the over with Baylor. The over is the under over is 76, by the way. But I'm interested to see, and I've been talking to some of my friends that went to Baylor, how – so you and I have talked extensively about how – like Baylor's going to be favored in every game, and that they're probably going to be better than every team they play. But how does it start to affect you mentally when you're 8-0, when you're 9-0, when you're 10-0, and you start thinking about – about going 12-0. And I feel like it wears on you. And especially for a team that hasn't, and this was where OSU was 2 years ago, hadn't been there before. You know, they hadn't done it before. They hadn't won the Big 12 before. I'm interested to see how that starts to affect them, especially in road games. I think they'll be fine at home. I think they'll probably go undefeated at home. But what about at TCU? What about at Oklahoma State? I don't know. I think that's going to be really interesting.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you start getting these, and not every team that wins a conference or goes to the national title has been there before, but when their program has been there before, you kind of like, there's less pressure, just a different type of pressure on your shoulders. You start thinking, man, we're the best, we could be the best team in school history. We could be the first Baylor team to win the Big 12 or win go to the national title game. All these things start racing in your mind, like, because your expectations weren't there as a program. And so, yeah, you go on the road, and I mean, gosh, like it happened to us in Iowa State. So this Baylor team's not invincible going on the road to TCU, OSU, and I don't remember the rest of their home or away game, but it'll be tough. They most certainly can do it.
Yeah, and that's not that, I'm not even taking a shot at Baylor there. I think it's tough for Alabama to go undefeated, again, not even in the SEC, but just in general. Like it's really difficult to do. Okay, next game.
Yeah, look, I mean, sorry, another example is Oregon. How often have they should just roll the Pac-12? And yeah, there's some other good teams in the Pac-12, but they don't always. I mean, they're not always undefeated. And actually, I don't know the last time they've. How many times they've been undefeated in the past decade, but I mean, it seems like they're always up there and then they lose, whether it be USC, Stanford, Oregon State. It's very tough to do.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. How about this? The next game is OU and Kansas, and OU it's at Kansas. OU's favored by 23.5. But first of all, when's the last time? So I'm seeing the TCU Oklahoma State over under at 51 here, and what did you say it was earlier?
Yeah, I was thinking it was low 50s.
Yeah, so 51 Oklahoma Kansas over under is 49. When's the last time a combined over under in OSU and OU's games was 100 or under?
That's a kick.
I mean,
I don't know.
It's been a while. It's been probably
a long while.
Yeah. But yeah, OU's favored by 23.5 at Kansas.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to take Kansas again. I know that there's that whole thing, and I don't follow it closely enough to have no much history on it, but you hear that OU always plays well after the Texas game. I don't love this OU team by any means. And, but I'm trying not to jump all the way back to the other spectrum to say that their quarterback situation is, the worst thing that's ever happened to Norman, and they're just going to be terrible. Because, I mean, they went on the road and beat Notre Dame, and I still think that Kansas is terrible. So give OU.
Yeah, I think OU too. I just think they're better than they played last week, and. I'm taking OU to cover 23.5. The next game is our game, TCU at Oklahoma State, and the line is currently at 7.5.
I know what I said earlier, but it's so hard for me not to pick us. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna say TCU is gonna cover.
Yeah, I'm saying TCU also. This is boring. We're picking the.
You just can't take getting beat by me. So you're gonna settle for a tie.
No, I think that TCU might win this game, and so I don't know. TCU's offense is so bad, and we don't even think that OSU can cover 7.5. I don't know. That's frustrating. But the last game is Cliff Kingsbury in Morgantown, where Tech is favored by 5 over West Virginia.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, I don't know. I can't figure out West Virginia. I don't know if us and OU are that bad, because they've gotten just destroyed by Maryland, and I can understand Baylor, but oh, you pick this one first, and then I'll decide. I may just go against you.
Yeah, we need to start alternating.
I think you're going to take Tech. I think that's what you're going to do.
No, I'm going to take West Virginia, because I feel like Tech is kind of – I like them. I love Kingsbury. I think they're going to be really good. I don't think they're that good this year, and I think a lot of it is – they've caught, you know, teams at the right time. I still don't know what happened in the TCU game. I don't understand how they held TCU to 10 points in that game. It was at Tech, but still. I'm going to take West Virginia to cover 5, and I think that I think they have a good shot at winning. This game started at, like, let's see, 9.5, by the way.
Oh, wow. Man, I wish you would have gone the other way, because I kind of wanted to take West Virginia. I agree with you. I think that Tech's one of those teams that hasn't been challenged, and so they're an undefeated team. And then you go on the road against a weird West Virginia team who can be pretty good. I mean, I hear Tech plays good defense, too. You just think this is kind of one that, you know, puts it in a place or brings it back to reality, but I can see him covering. I'm not crazy about it, but I think it was still at least a 4-4 win this week. I'm going to go Tech.
Okay, finally we disagree about something. Okay, last question, Maddie. I will let you get going on this homecoming Friday, but we're both going to walk around tonight, probably both going to homecoming and hoops. Both going to the TCU game. Appreciate you getting me tickets, by the way. What are you most looking forward to about homecoming weekend?
That's actually a good question. I want to say homecoming and hoops, but I'd be excited. I mean, I'm excited to go, but it's been built up so much that now I'm like skeptical of it because the expectations are up there. So just weekend, like walk around, something about all the, you know, all the alumni coming back, and you always see a bunch of people that, you know, friends you haven't seen in a while. And, just one of those really great homecoming traditions that, you know, that we have. People outside of it don't really understand it, but it's something that we all get. I was across it this morning and a couple of us were talking about it, and people who didn't know what it was were like, so what's a walk around, and you try to explain it, but then you realize no matter how I explain it to this person, they're not going to get it. It's going to sound pretty lame. Well, you just walk around the street and look at some house decorations. But when you know what, I wasn't in a fraternity, but you know what all the fraternities and sororities, the time and hours that they put in. I mean, I'm sure at this moment, they're still like delirious pumping right now. So props to them. And so it's cool that they did that for all the students and then all the alumni that like to come back and make such a big deal out of the homecoming. So And we appreciate all the work that goes into it. And, you know, in a couple months, they'll probably be starting on next year's homecoming plan again. So, yeah, not anything like one particular event or thing to do, but just the whole tradition in general.
Yeah, any excuse to walk around Stillwater and the campus with thousands of people that you went to school with is usually a pretty good thing. I'm excited about the basketball thing. I, you know, nobody's really seen the new video board, and you know, it's supposed to be really whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. I wrote yesterday that if Markel doesn't rappel down from the ceiling and get an alley-oop from Gottlieb, you know, and put it home to kick things off, it's going to be a disappointment with how much OSU has built it up. But yeah, I think it's going to be good. So yeah, I'm really excited to be inside. There's so much energy inside Gallagher Iba when it's full. And I think with the, you know, between the Greeks and everybody that's excited about basketball, I think it's going to be pretty full. So I think that'll be really cool.
I think it'll be full up. I hope it stays that way after they do all the Greek stuff. I hope students don't all leave.
Yeah, they always, they need to do that to where you don't find out until the end if you won, because it's just, it empties out and it's kind of weird. But hopefully everybody will pack it out the whole time.
Yeah, and you mentioned the video board. That's a good point. I mean, I think the pictures, from the looks of it, it definitely passes the looks test. And so we won't know once the season starts. But I don't know. It's early. Dude, it's not even that early, but it's morning. but how they're going to use it is also going to be a big, big factor in that video board, because there's a lot of potential for it there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. I guess I'll see you tonight.
Yeah, we will. We will be in Gallagher Iba together tonight, and appreciate you doing the podcast, Matty.
I love that sentence. We're going to be in Gallagher Iba together tonight. knowing that I'm going to be back in Gallagher Iba makes me happy. So,
all right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
See ya.